So let's proceed with the first case for argument. Obsidian Solutions Group, LLC versus United States, 21-1836. Mr. Jones, I understand you reserved 5 minutes of time for rebuttal. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, and may it please the Court. My name is Milton Johns, and I am arguing today on behalf of the appellant, Obsidian Solutions Group. This morning's case, in many ways, has one advantage for this decision-making body in that the facts are largely agreed. The issue at hand is the interpretation of the effect of the Runway Extension Act.
So let me just ask you this, and hypothetically, and I know you disagree with this, but just run with the hypothetical. Assuming SBA's, I think, what, nearly 20-year interpretation of the statute is right, and that A2A and B are what apply to it, and C doesn't apply to it and applies to other federal agencies. Even if Congress had intended to extend the period from 3 to 5 years in the REA, if it only amended a section that did not apply to the SBA, wouldn't that make its amendment ineffective?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that certainly the Johnson case from 2000 from the Supreme Court clearly establishes that federal regulations that contradict federal statutes are ineffective.
Please live with the hypothetical. We're talking about the statute. Mm-hmm. And so the statute, the proper understanding of the statute, again, hypothetical, I know you don't agree with this, but the proper understanding of the statute is A2A and B apply to the administrator. A2C applies to all other agencies. And so when Congress amends C to extend the time period from 3 to 5 years, even if they meant that to apply to the SBA, it doesn't apply to the SBA, right? Because C only applies to other federal agencies under the hypothetical.
Under that hypothetical, it would still affect the proposal in this case because the Department of Energy, if indeed C applies to all other agencies besides SBA, the Department of Energy could not promulgate a size standard that was less than 5 years.
Well,
in
but
the,
C
the
is
calculation.
If the agencies promulgate their own size standards, not if they're using the SBA's size standard. So I get it. I mean, I think you answered my hypothetical that if Congress had made, if it was clear that C only applied to, didn't apply to the SBA size requirements, only applied to special programs promulgated by other agencies, which is not at issue here, right? It's the SBA program.
That's correct.
Then Congress's amendment would be ineffective. And so what had to happen, which is what Congress later did, was clarify that its amendment by amending the language in C, making that directly applicable to the SBA. But the problem for you is your client's caught in the window between the first one, which may not have covered it, according to the Court of Federal Claims, and the second one, which clearly does.
That's correct, Your Honor. It is. The proposal was issued. The proposal was submitted in July of 2019. The law was changed in December of 2018. The regulation was updated in December 2019. So
do you have any sense of how many possible solicitations throughout the government would be affected by this time gap?
It would be a small number, Your Honor. Effectively, it's a narrow group. This was, you know, a small business set aside at the Department of Energy, and this particular size standard would be very limited. And so,
Can I just ask you one more question? Congress is presumed to act with knowledge of what the current law is, right? Does that include official agency interpretations in the Federal Register?
Well, Congress is certainly assumed to understand the impact of their laws, but Congress
is not really answering my question. I mean, it was very specific. Is Congress supposed to know about official agency interpretations of statutes published in the Federal Register?
Well, I don't think Congress can know the agency's interpretation.
Well, they're published in the Federal Register for 20 years.
the SBA's interpretation of this statute was published in the Federal Register. They're on notice of that, right?
That's correct.
So they knew, SBA thought, only parts A and B applied to it and C did not apply to it.
And I think that Congress's reaction in very clearly changing the annual runway from 3 to 5 indicated...
If this was known, if this is an agency practice, this interpretation, that 632A2C, that those provisions do not apply to the SBA, why wouldn't Congress fix this when they pass the runway?
I suspect, Your Honor, that Congress intended to address a very specific need, a very specific change in this regulation, and that's why they made that very clear.
That's true. Then this doesn't apply to you, right? I mean, you're out. I think you're arguing a losing line right there.
Well, I think that if it only applies to the agencies under C, I don't think that Department of Energy could have continued with a 3-year program.
The historical interpretation of the provisions under C have been that they don't apply to the SBA, correct? I mean,
those have been the SBA's interpretations.
And that's been the practice. That's been the SBA practice.
That's correct. It hasn't been interpreted
so
by
when
higher
Congress
courts.
Passed the Runway Act, why did they not take into account and fix it in the way that you wish? In other words, Congress knew what they were doing when they passed the act, and they did not extend the 5-year provision to the SBA.
Well, we certainly have a sense of Congress subsequent to the enactment with the House bill that indicated it, certainly at least on the House side.
That House bill was not voted. Is this the one you're talking about? It did not pass. It was not enacted into law.
It wasn't fully enacted into law, but I think that the issue was...
I mean, we had the sense of Congress after the enactment, and then they did subsequently amend it to make clear that it applied to the SBA. Why isn't that an inference that it didn't originally apply to the SBA? Why isn't it a permissible inference? In fact, probably the most logical one, when Congress knew for 20 years, SBA had said... You know, I think the number that was in the government's brief was close to 50 times in the Federal Register. A and B apply to us, C applies to other agencies. And when they enact an amendment that applies only to C, they only intended it to apply to the program, the small business programs promulgated by other agencies under C. That's what we have to take, isn't it? And then when they realize, oh, maybe this should apply to the SBA, they enacted another amendment and put specifically and see that it applies to the administrator, right?
Correct, Your Honor, but I think that was Congress's reaction to seeing that the intent was not translated.
Okay, I mean, I get what you're saying, and who knows, maybe that's what Congress intended to do, but that's why I asked you the hypothetical at the beginning, is Congress may have intended to do something, but if it did it in a way that's not consistent with the plain language of the statute and longstanding interpretation of the statute, then its amendment's ineffective, right?
Well, I think that Congress retains the authority to change that interpretation by passing new statute.
Which they did, ultimately, when they made it clear that C applies to the administrator. But their first amendment didn't do that.
And I think that arose because of the continuing interpretation by the agency,
which they knew of.
Correct, and Congress has
Congress knows how to override agency interpretations. It knows how to override court decisions, and it says so explicitly when it does so, or it makes the language explicit. But it didn't do that here.
We believe that from the plain text that Congress's intent was clear in changing from 3 to 5
How
years
is that
because
possible? How is it possible that just changing a part that the SBA and presumably the entire public contracting world knew of SBA's interpretation that C didn't apply to it? How is it possible that Congress
plainly intended by amending a portion of the statute that it didn't apply to the SBA to affect the SBA?
Well, because Congress could have amended it to direct SBA to consider.
But they didn't until later.
Because the SBA's interpretation was not consistent with its intent. I think that's why they had to go back and direct that change, because SBA was not handling that, was not interpreting it consistent with their intent.
Okay, you're into your rebuttal time. Would you like to?
I'll stop at this point, Your Honor. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Hogue? Is it Hogue or Hugh?
Hogue, Your Honor.
Hogue, okay.
May it please the Court. Stephen Huff for the United States. The SBA correctly determined that Obsidian was not small for purposes of the Department of Energy contract at issue.
So can I ask you kind of the flip side of the hypothetical I was asking your friend? What if we have the same scenario? SBA took in this longstanding interpretation. C didn't apply to it. But in the legislative history, in the congressional record, in the proposed bill, everybody in Congress thought that they were changing this. So Congress, there's no doubt, their intent behind this change was to change the time period from 3 to 5 years for everybody. Other agencies under C and the SBA under A and B. But all they did was what they did here, which was enact a change to Part C. So essentially, what happens if Congress intends to do something but perhaps made a mistake in the way they did it?
That would be a closer case, Your Honor, but the legislative history can't trump the contrary clear language of the statute.
But answer my hypothetical. I tried to make your friend answer my hypothetical. You make it answer it too. They made the same amendment here with the same regulatory history of the Federal Register, but there are statements throughout the legislative history that we intend for the time period for all small business contracts, the calculation to be extended from 3 to 5 years. But yet the plain language of their amendment only applies to Part Sub C, which they knew SBA didn't apply to itself. What happens if Congress makes an amendment that on its face doesn't affect its intent, but its intent is nevertheless clear?
The plain language trumps the legislative history and the subjective intent of Congress, Your Honor.
Okay.
Here, the Obsidian's 3-year average annual receipts were $21.75 million, and the applicable size standard at the time was $20.5 million. The SBA properly determined that Obsidian was not small. The Court of Federal Claims appropriately upheld that determination. And this court
should affirm. Do you have any sense of how many possible solicitations this... Because it's changed now, right? This 5 years applies to SBA again.
That's correct, Your Honor.
How many... And it was a pretty short window. I mean, it's pretty clear Congress intended this because they enacted the amendment, the new amendment, really quickly. But I get your plain language argument. Do you know how many possible solicitations this affects?
My understanding is this is the last one, Your Honor. There are 8 potentially affected solicitations total, or at least 8 that were litigated. There are 11 decisions issued across those 8 cases. All of them have come out in favor of the SBA's position and against the challenging contractor's position.
Are there any still pending or on appeal to us?
My understanding is this is the last one, Your Honor.
Okay.
What's the current status of the solicitation here?
Yes, Your Honor. The contract was awarded to Agunic in December 2020. They have been in full performance since May of 2021. The incumbent is no longer available, no longer on the contract, and it's no longer possible to revert to the incumbent prior contractor. If this contract award were now to be enjoined, it put the Department of Energy and indeed national security in a very bad situation. One of the services under this contract is to provide encryption audits for secure email that's used to transmit classified nuclear information. Bluntly, Your Honor, if this award were to be enjoined, the DOE would not be able to send those classified emails until they could go through whatever steps were required by the injunctive relief. Notably, Obsidian doesn't argue it was small under the applicable 3-year average annual...
Kelsey, in your view, does the public notice and comment process that's enumerated in Section C of the Act, does it apply to the SBA? If the SBA wants to promulgate or something like here, changing it from 3 to 5 years, does it have to go through a public notice and comment period?
The SBA is required to do public notice and comment, but it's under Section A6 of the Act rather than A2C of the Act, which I believe Your Honor is referring to. At the time that's relevant in 2019, when Obsidian submitted its proposal, subsection C only applied to federal agencies other than the SBA, and therefore the notice and comment obligation would not have applied there to SBA. But again, under Section A6, the SBA would have the obligation to go through notice and comment. Notably, Obsidian has not challenged that it was small under the 2019 size standards at the time it submitted its proposal. Instead, it's arguing that it would have been small if instead a different rule had applied, if you look back 5 years rather than three. Notably, to possibly prevail here, Obsidian has to succeed in all three legal issues that it raised, which is the applicability of the Runway Extension Act to the SBA in subsection A and B rather than just C, the immediacy, that is, that it took effect immediately to affect not just promulgation of rules, but the enforcement of existing rules, and that it did not require notice of rulemaking. Each of those arguments is wrong for the reasons we've addressed in our brief, but again, in order for Obsidian to prevail, it must go three for three. If the court were to find for the United States on just one of those three issues, it should then affirm the judgment below.
Okay.
And for those reasons, we respectfully request that the court affirm the judgment.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Johns, you have a little over 4 minutes. Yeah, 4 minutes, 38 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. Very briefly, as I mentioned in my very opening, Obsidian has never argued that it was small under the three-year standard. It was very close, but it was slightly over that three-year standard. So those facts aren't at issue, and that's why the five-year statute was determinative in this case. And I believe that the SBA in their original finding agreed that were the five-year the facts that they found were consistent with Obsidian being a small business with the five-year runway application. So,
what exactly is the relief that you're seeking?
Well, Your Honor, in this case, the relief would be the award of this contract. The contract, apologize. The contract was originally awarded to Obsidian. They were the winner of the competition. It was then unwound and awarded to Algunic. So in this case, the remedy is a new contract award to Obsidian to essentially revert that award. And the government has discussed the impact of an injunction, but an injunction in this case wouldn't need to be of the type that would bring the contract support to a screeching halt. The injunction could be crafted so that there was no harm to the government and allowed.
I don't recall. Can you point me where in your papers you set out the argument for the injunction?
So in our reply brief, we addressed the issues that the government raised in their opposition. But we think that we can't get to the injunction argument until we get past the legal argument, the legal error of the application of the size standard.
Seems to me you should amend both arguments. One is the merits, and then the other, the relief, because this is a unique situation. And if you made your arguments pertaining to relief in your reply brief, that perhaps would have been too late.
Well, again, we believe that certainly the judgment that came from the Court of Federal Claims that the error was on the error that we specifically addressed was the interpretation of the impact of the Runway Extension Act. So we don't believe that the...
Even if we were to find in your favor, we'd have to send it back down for additional fact-finding, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor. And I believe that that could be accomplished at the Court of Federal Claims.
Okay.
And unless the court has any other questions, I'll conclude my presentation.
We thank you for your argument, counsel.
Thank the court for their time.